Hello and welcome to the Full Force Newsburst brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com with me as your host, Chris, full of surprises McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me on today's burst to discuss the amazing SDCC exclusive and Hasbro licensed G.I. Joe prints is Brian Miller. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this newsburst. Earlier today, we broke the news of an SDCC G.I. Joe exclusive courtesy of the very talented artist Brian Miller, famous for his work on brands such as Star Wars, The X-Files, Doctor Who, Archer, The Simpsons, Rick and Morty, to name but a few. The exclusives in question are a pair of stunning prints depicting the Sky Striker and Rattler in a style reminiscent of the old wartime posters. They are absolutely stunning, and thankfully Brian has allowed me to talk his ear off about these gorgeous prints on the show tonight. First off, Brian, thank you so much for joining me. How are you? And could you give a little bit of background on yourself and what you've worked on in the past, please?
I'm doing very well. It's my pleasure to join you today. You know, I think most fans know me from Star Wars. The Star Wars art that I do is probably the most prolific or the most well-known.
Awesome.
But I've always been a G.I. Joe fan at heart.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people may not know is that I worked on the Devil's Due G.I. Joe series as one of the colorists and painters. And then with my friend Joe Caroni, who's a really well-respected sci-fi artist, we collaborated on some G.I. Joe cover art for IDW when the first movie was released. So G.I. Joe, it's always been like a through line in my life, and one of those things that anytime I have a chance to get back to it, I just grab it.
It's great. I mean, that's awesome. I wasn't aware that you'd done stuff on the Image side of things. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I kind of got my start in comics as a colorist and painter. I've always been an artist and illustrator, but I got into comics through the sort of the coloring and painting realm.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm known in that realm. And at Chicago Con, years before the Image G.I. Joe comics came out, Josh Blaylock and I met, and we really hit it off, and we were kind of kindred souls, and we talked about G.I. Joe and Transformers and Jim and the Holograms and all these sort of things that we loved growing up. And it was maybe 2 years later, I got a phone call from Josh, and he says, "Hey, I've got the G.I. Joe license, and I'm going to do comic books. Do you want to be involved with it?" And I was like, yes, it's a dream come true.
Amazing.
So I worked on that for, I think, the first 23 issues. And it was a ton of fun. And I got to work with a lot of my idols, like Larry Hama.
Of course, yeah.
And Dan Jurgens, and, you know, just some of the really influential people who have touched Joe throughout the years. And it just reawakened in me my passion for G.I. Joe, but also, I guess, you know, when you sort of transition from a kid into that sort of, you know, getting into your 20s and getting into your 30s and beyond.
Yeah. Keep going.
You sort of start to feel a little bit of stewardship for the brand, and you want to help introduce it to, you know, a new generation and to a new audience. And so working on the Image series was sort of my first introduction to that, where I would meet people at Comic-Cons who were maybe didn't really know G.I. Joe, or they didn't know the G.I. Joe the way, you know, that we know it. And when you can sort of introduce them to some of the classic characters and some of the themes and storylines, you see them get excited, and it's kind of fun to foster that and watch it grow.
That's awesome. I mean, let's get into these exclusives. How do you feel having had such an overwhelming response to these awesome pieces so far?
I mean, it's been an amazing day. Everyone at Hasbro has been fantastic to work with. And, you know, if everything works out, these two will be just the first in a series of G.I. Joe versus Cobra artwork that'll be coming out over the next year or two. So we've really been sort of trying to take our time and plan this out and work with Hasbro to get all the pieces in place. And as a fan myself, it was really a challenge to decide, like, where do we start? Where do we bring people in? And with G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, there's so many characters that you really run the risk of people saying, well, why didn't you include this character? Why didn't you include that character? So I thought, well, for our first release, let's focus on some really iconic imagery, and let's go for like a propaganda poster look. So I went with the G.I. Joe's Sky Strikers on one illustration and the Cobra Rattlers on the other. They work great as a pair, or they can stand alone. And I think it's the type of thing that any G.I. Joe fan would want to have in their collection, but it may also appeal to people who don't necessarily know G.I. Joe, but just think the imagery is cool, and maybe we can bring them into the G.I. Joe fandom that way.
Yeah, I mean, great choices, I think. I mean, they're the most iconic kind of, planes, I suppose. They're the most iconic jets in the Air Force of both, you know, kind of brands. So it's just, I just find, you know, there's something so, it takes you straight back to that time period looking at the Sky Striker. I mean, straight away, it's visions of the Sumbo cartoon. It's visions of, you know, some of the comics where we had, you know, that amazing fight between Wild Weasel and Ace in one of the American G.I. Joe comics. And for us in the UK, it was like some, you know, the Sky Striker was used a lot in the Action Force comics in the UK. And again, like, it's just, I think that the most iconic looking vehicles, I mean, you could probably argue that, but I'm not sure if it could be argued. I mean, I suppose the iconography was something that drew you to those two as well, right?
Definitely. I mean, well, the Sky Striker was one of the first toys that were the first of the big G.I. Joe toys that I had as a kid. And, you know, I think I just played with it so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, throwing the ejector seats up into the air and watching them come down the parachutes and
yes.
playing with the little switch that brought the wings forward and back and the landing gear and everything. I mean, it was such a play heavy toy.
Yeah.
You could really enjoy it that I just have so many fond memories that I knew I wanted to illustrate that.
Yeah.
And the same is true of the Rattler. I mean, it's so iconic. It's so menacing in its own way.
Yeah.
Especially with that separate little gunner bubble.
Yeah.
It's you know, midship there. So it really was drawn to me. And most of my art is influenced by the past. So whether it's classic cinema posters or something like this where it's like propaganda art.
Yeah.
I really wanted to bring that flavor into it in a way that sort of hopefully feels compatible with G.I. Joe.
I mean, they're awesome. I think they work perfectly. And I love the fact that you can have them side by side. And we'll see on the video as I'm throwing images up in the background. But, you know, that just the way you can have them either facing each other and they're both coming towards each other, or you can have them flying away from each other. You've got like there's a really nice symmetry there, even though the planes themselves are very different in style. You've got the kind of brutish element of the Rattler, the kind of, you know, the A-10 Warthog inspiration. And then you've got the kind of like almost like the big kind of cool Top Gun sleek, like styling of the Sky Striker. So I think, yeah, they work so well together. I think they're an amazing set. And I'm really looking, I love what you said about the fact that if these are successful, there's going to be more kind of things coming. So that also marks off one of the questions I had later on. But thank you.
Well, you know, I think that's part of it. I mean, the fact that, you know, you're doing your podcast from where you are is testament to one of the myths about G.I. Joe, and that it only appeals to an American audience.
Sure, sure.
But we know that it was the cartoons were released. Eventually, they got around even with the internet worldwide. The comics, like you said, were done different ways in different countries. I mean, the characters themselves or the stories or the vehicles have sort of made their way around the world. And G.I. Joe, Real American Heroes, the 1980s version, just has this super loyal fan following. And even though there's things that have come after, it doesn't mean we have to abandon the fans of the 80s G.I. Joe. And,
yeah.
You know, what I'm trying to do with this series of illustrations is show that, you know, as fans, we want this stuff. We can collect this stuff, and we're going to probably love it for our entire lives. And, I think it's important to show to other types of fandoms and to Hasbro and to the rest of the industry that we're probably going to be fans of this forever. And one of my experiences with Lucasfilm and Star Wars has been that they sort of understand that there's many different levels of Star Wars fans. There's fans of the original trilogy, there's fans of Rebels, and there's fans of the new movies. And it's okay if one fan doesn't necessarily follow everything, but they're the fan of the part of Star Wars that they're the most, you know, excited about. And with G.I. Joe, it's okay if we're that way too. You know, we have G.I. Joe fans that are going to love everything that's ever come out, and they're going to collect all of it.
That's me.
You know, and that's fantastic. But we also know that there's fans that are just focused on the 1980s G.I. Joe Real American Hero toys and cartoons and comics, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
So if we can sort of bring more fans into that fandom and give them artwork and cool things that they want to collect and hang on their walls and put in their collector's room, then that's awesome too. And hopefully this is just the tip of the iceberg for that.
That's fantastic. Brian, how was it working with Hasbro? I mean, how did that kind of come about? Did you, obviously, did you kind of go to them and just request the license? I mean, how did that work?
Yeah, so most of the art that I do is through galleries or through companies that already have a license, so Star Wars and X-Files and things like that. And I was talking to an art director one day at one of the galleries, and I said, you know, I've kind of got this background with G.I. Joe. I'm a real big fan. If there's ever an opportunity, I'd love to create some really nice collectible artwork for G.I. Joe. And about a week later, he got back to me and he says, you know what? The people who had the license, they let it expire.
Wow.
It's like, why don't we just reach out to Hasbro and see if you can acquire that? So I did that about a year and a half ago. And we've been working with them ever since on ramping this up and getting it ready for the release today. So it's been an ongoing process, but it's also been really fun. I've been blown away by the support inside Hasbro. I think there's a tremendous amount of love for G.I. Joe, and they've been super awesome to work with. And I think now sort of just the test period where we put this out and we see what the fan response is. And if we can show that there's still a lot of love for G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, and an audience for this product, then there's definitely going to be an opportunity to have more and new and different things in the future.
Well, I'm going to try and trick you now by telling us that, no, not at all. I was actually going to ask you what your favorite kind of vehicles were, just to see if we could maybe get a hint as to what we might see in the future. But of course, that's very tongue in cheek. Who have you been working with at Hasbro? Is it Daryl? Because we're really close with Daryl on the show. He was on over the weekend with us. We're putting together like a JoeCon episode, like a debrief episode. And
my main contact has been Eddie in the consumer products division.
Okay,
and
yep.
He's been absolutely wonderful to work with and super knowledgeable of the property. And I know as fans, sometimes, you know, whether it's Star Wars or G.I. Joe, whatever it is, sometimes we feel like there's a barrier between the fandom and the companies that are making the product. And I don't feel that at all with Hasbro. I mean, Eddie's been great, and the other people I've worked with there have been great. And it just seems like they're kind of on board to see what the future holds and what the fans like. So it's been really an eye-opening experience, because sometimes when you're on the outside looking in, you know, it feels like glass houses. And then when you get inside, you're like, oh, no, this is great. Everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. I've definitely found that myself, like by doing this show and you know, prior to that, you just think of Hasbro as this big faceless corporation, but then you get to know like loads of them going to conventions and stuff like that. And it's really, yeah, right. It's not the case at all. So it's great to hear that, actually. Really cool. Okay. So in terms of the actual, the actual prints themselves, could you give us some details on how to kind of go about getting hold of them? If any of the fans out there want to buy some, I know there's a pre-sale on right now and obviously SDCC, but if you could kind of give us the details, that'd be awesome.
Sure. Well, I mean, the most important thing to know is that these are silkscreen prints. So they're a much more handcrafted item than your typical lithograph, which would be machine made.
Yeah.
And if you've not had a silkscreen before, the way the ink's sort of laid out on the paper one at a time and it has to dry and the next one put on, it's very tactile. There's a nice texture to it when you get it. So it's a really neat piece.
Awesome.
Each one will be hand numbered and signed by me. Each piece comes with a certificate of authenticity showing that it's an officially licensed Hasbro product, and the print edition and the numbers that were made and all those details. So it's definitely a collectible item and something that, you know, that you can display with pride in your room of collections, or, you know, that sort of thing. It's not just a mass produced item, which is nice. We're limited to 200 pieces, and once those are sold out, it'll never be reproduced. So I say get it now, because what happened with my Star Wars art was some of my fans didn't discover me until maybe my second or third or fourth illustration I did for Star Wars, and now they're like so mad they didn't get that first piece. So I'm like, just go ahead and get this one now, because it'll be the hardest one to find in the future. The dimensions are 18 inches by 24 inches. I'll let you convert that to centimeters later.
No worries.
But it's a nice size. It's on this beautiful paper stock, this fine art paper stock. So it's a real nice collector's item. We are doing a pre-sale right now. So for the pair of prints, the Cobra and the G.I. Joe print, the retail price is going to be $100 US.
Yeah.
With the pre-sale, you can use the code YOJO20 at checkout on our website and save $20 off. So it's a good deal, and it's a way for us to give fans who participate in the pre-sale a little something special. It's available at octopolis.com, and for those that it's spelled crazy, so I'll spell it out for you. It's OKTOPOLIS.com. You can buy each print individually if you want, or you can get that two print set with the discount. So that's probably the best way to go. And then they'll debut at San Diego Comic-Con. So we'll have them there at San Diego Comic-Con. I'll be signing at the World Famous Comics booth, which is booth 5560 at San Diego Comic-Con. We'll have them there. And then for those who do the pre-order, they should be shipping out the same week as San Diego Comic-Con. So if you pre-order today, those will go in the mail the same week as San Diego and hopefully reach people pretty quickly.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Brian. I mean, the prints are stunning. I'm really looking forward to getting them in hand. You've done an amazing job. Thank you so much for coming on the show as well to talk about them. And good luck with the pre-sales and at SDCC as well.
Thanks. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I just hope people enjoy the art so that we have a chance to do more in the future.
No worries. We'll also be putting all the links on the YouTube video and the Facebook page as well, so you guys be able to, you know, you won't have to kind of listen along to find out how to spell octopolis.com. You can just go straight in there and get them while they're hot. And yeah, at 200 pieces, I mean, they're probably going fast, so get in there, guys. Anyway, that's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my wonderful guest, Brian Miller. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.